Now this update from the Canadian Press. The spreading coronavirus is threatening to derail the global economy, with more companies warning investors their finances will take a hit because of disruptions to supply chains and sales. It is another day of massive losses on Bay and Wall Streets. The Director General of the World Health Organization says containment of the new coronavirus starts with you. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says your risk of getting the virus depends on your age, where you live, and your general health. Economic growth slowed in the fourth quarter to an annualized rate of 0.3% due to drops in business investment and weak international trade. Statistics Canada has revised its reading for third quarter GDP from its initial reading of 1.3% down to 1.1%. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Buffalo has filed for bankruptcy protection as it tries to recover from a clergy abuse scandal. From the Canadian Press, I'm Dawn Kelly.
On a dare, I was told, just go brr, 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 it's brr. So it is brr, is what it is. Checking with the old hawk weather right now. Saturday, -4, snow. Sunday, 3, cloudy. Tonight, -9 with snow squalls. That's not happening. We know there's no snow squalls. There's no such thing. -6 right now in Hamilton with the wind chill feels like -15. Brr, brr, brr.
It's time for Steel City Music with Gunner on 101.5 The Hawk.
Brr, brr. Hey, it's Gunner. It's Friday. It's noon. I'll tell you what's coming up in the show, all the other fun stuff. We're going to kick some stuff off with Ellis. Brody's here. Kasbah, fun. Tunes Fall Apart. All of it. Steel City Music on The Hawk. Let's go.
Listen. You warm enough over there? You warm?
Yes.
Are you warm? For real?
Toasty.
Honestly? Because yeah. you still got the sailor. You're not wearing much, buddy.
What? Excuse me?
You're not. For the amount of cold that we've been griping about as old guys, it's a very thin captain's pea coat you got on.
No, this thing's the warmest thing I've worn in years.
Really?
It is.
What do we got? Oh, more Ellis.
Never mind. You got these on or something?
No. Oh, that's just your computer nonsense. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. You don't like my look?
No, I like your look. It just looks thin. Oh. I mean, after us whining about how cold it was.
Both of us are shriveling away in our age.
I know. And look at me. I dress like I'm Paul Bunyan. I never wear this.
It's a good look. I like it.
You think so? I feel like I should chop wood and make you some pancakes. Can I make you some pancakes? Hey, it's Gunner. It's Steel City Music here on The Hawk. A 7-hour show, interviews, music, chit-chat, and all the other fun things that are going on around Hamilton, Ontario. And the end of every month on the Friday at noon, he makes his way up here sipping tea or coffee from driving his kids around a basketball. Football games, hockey, and all the other nonsense. We talk about music that's coming into the Casbah and just music in general. And you just actually heard some Ellis, and she's coming up at the Casbah.
Yes, March 5th. Ellis has a new record that the band is celebrating and promoting this spring. And we're lucky enough at the Casbah to have the debut, the launch show of this album release tour on March 5th.
March 5th?
Okay. Yeah, the album's called Born Again. And super connected band. They've got the hippest of indie labels supporting the record. In Canada, Royal Mountain Records is putting it out.
Yeah.
And in the United States, Fat Possum Records is putting out. So,
congratulations. Ellis, has she actually been performing at the Casbah in the last couple of years? Because from what I was reading briefly, it was coming out of Redeemer College, that sort of thing, in the music.
Okay, Linnea Williams is the singer-songwriter fronting Ellis.
Ellis.
And the first release was an EP called The Fuzz. Initially self-released, and then Royal Mountain picked it up and helped it along the way.
Right.
So we had the release party for that as well at the Casbah back in November of 2018.
That's not long ago. That's only 2 years.
Yeah. So this is the first full length.
Yeah.
It's called Born Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was Fall Apart, the first single.
What are your thoughts on them? How are you digging them?
I like them. I like them. I mean, what I've heard, I haven't heard this whole record. I've only been listening to the singles as they released them. I think they've done three now.
Mm-hmm.
It's poppier than the old EP was. And that's kind of goes with being a band that wants to not only create, but also get more accessible to the world, right? So the first EP was a bit more on the shoegaze, darker side.
Yeah.
And this new record, maybe the deeper cuts on the album are still in that shoegaze, darker vein. But the singles so far have been more on the dream pop angle, a little more poppy.
Well, I see what you're saying. It's going on the other spectrum.
Yeah.
That's always the thing that a band struggles with when they come out with that first EP or that first album. They've had time to write it. It's been in their back pocket for years.
Right.
And then that next album is like, okay, now we got to come up with like
a brand new material. And when someone invests in a band, like a label,
right,
they have the right to have some sort of say on the process, right?
And so, really? Because I know 99.9% of your friend group would scream at you right now for saying that.
Yeah, I know, including this band probably, too.
Yeah, and then I could see you arguing with yourself after saying that now.
You gotta toe the line, I think. I mean, I'm not a musician. I've never spoke from the musician's or the artist's perspective. I've always spoken from the promoter's perspective, right? But I feel, my opinion is that you toe the line between pure creative decision-making versus the business model of getting what you're creating out to the world. So if it means that your first single is the song that maybe is more mainstreamish in its approach, even if it's not deliberately made to be mainstreamish, if somebody that's investing in you financially, like a label, says this one is the one that's probably going to get the most people to pay attention to you, let's put that one out first. And then once we've got their attention, then the real deep stuff down low on that record, we'll get that out there next.
Right. But then again, each song tells a story, and if they're put in a certain way and it's a concept album, the one that leads you down the road is the artistic endeavor.
Yeah, that's true, too. I don't know enough about this record lyrically to know if that's what this kind of record is or not.
And sometimes that comes up with singer-songwriters, as you just said. Like, you know, that first one seemed to be a little bit darker. This one's, a little bit more poppier.
Yes.
Right? So that you need that first song to set the tone and why you should be listening to this album. It tells a story.
Yeah.
But then again, I say that, and not everyone has that mindset anymore when they're putting together their craft, because it is very, we are very much a singles. I mean, we've gone from LPs to EPs, and people just releasing just singles now.
Yeah, I think that in the case of Ellis, there's a lot of credibility there, because I think the group, and again, I'm speaking for the group, they're fighting against that trend, I think. The fact that there's a full length record here, right, says that they're trying to release back in a way that was done before, where the whole album is important. Pay attention to everything that we're doing, not just one single at a time. It might be released in a one single at a time kind of way when it comes to radio, but there's still a whole product there called the album that is worth paying attention to.
I've gotten out of that whole just listen to the couple singles and then never listen to the whole album.
Yeah.
I'm out of that phase. Oh, I'd rather listen to the whole album because
it's like people our age in our 40s, it's like the industry expects that we forgot when we were young that listening to the whole album was something we did. We didn't forget.
No.
And if you think hard about the records that you like, often your favorite songs are numbers 9 and number 11 and number 12
the deep
on the records.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. That was always the mandate of this radio station, and not speaking on behalf of CFMU, but I mean, if you were a campus station, we never played, and still don't for the most part, the singles.
Right.
It was always the deeper cuts.
Right.
That was a program by the on-air staff, and if it was a band that was really well known, we would never play the hit. It would be a deeper cut. Like if we were to play Tragically Hip, it would never be something that was a hit. It would be something that was,
right,
you know, further down the line, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Like to keep that mandate of, you know, you're promoting Canadian music, and it's part of your license, and you're promoting music that's not heard in commercial radio, right?
So you know. Going right back to what we were talking here, March 5th, you go live to the show, you're going to get the deep cuts live. They're going to play the whole record.
They're going to do the whole record? Well, how long's the record? Do you know? Is it a 45 or did they do an hour?
Yeah, it's about a 40-something minute record. Yeah.
Well, how do you stand? I've always wanted to ask you this and other people. How do you stand about the last song of the set? Because it's always the first song, the first couple songs, the last couple songs that always stick with you.
Oh, I see.
You know, so when you're picking a set list.
I mean, if I were in a band, what would I put as my last song of a show?
Well, yeah, because a lot of people will throw in a cover. Like sort of like something that's so, you know, or, you know, like some people love that. And then other bands are told, just play your music. Don't promote anyone else.
I'm always, as a promoter and as an audience member, I'm always, I cringe a little bit at the choice in putting a cover near the end of your show.
Right.
Because it almost feels like the band's putting more into the cover performance than they did their actual original material.
Right.
It's like they're almost more familiar with the song that somebody else recorded and wrote than they are familiar with their own music.
And so
if you reveal that by all of a sudden you're pepping up your energy for this song that wasn't yours at the end of the show, what does that do to the credibility of what you did prior to that song?
Because I see both sides of it, because I would see certain bands do it and I just go, oh, don't do that cover. And then I've seen other people do it, and it's just like, oh, they really brought the room together and left it on a good note.
Right.
You know, like the old Sweet Caroline thing, they do that, Neil Diamond. And I remember the Killjoys years ago, man. They would do their, you know, their power pop 40, 45-minute set, and then you would start hearing it, Grease, you know, play Grease, or, you know, Fox on the Run, you know, or Groove is in the Heart, that kind of thing.
Huh.
You know?
I get, maybe if it's a performance that's supposed to be about releasing a new album, if it's a, you know, an album release tour, for example, maybe you should stay away from doing covers, and because the focus is supposed to be that you're celebrating and promoting this new release. If it's an in-between play, if it's a show that you're doing that's not really part of releasing a new record,
then
lighten it up with some stuff,
because the argument is you're there to put on a show.
Yeah,
mainly you're there to put on a show, and then people get to experience your music. Mm-hmm. One would think. Hey, it's 12:18 right now. Gunner here, Steel City Music on the air on the Hawk. My guest the last Friday of every month, Brody Schwinderman from the Casbah. We're talking about music, some of the shows that are coming up that we're highlighting at the venue. And we just actually played Ellis from her new album, Something Blue. And moving on, sir, we're going to do Evan Cartwright. Tell me about Evan Cartwright.
Evan Cartwright performs at the club on March 14th. Evan is most notable as a percussionist, as a drummer. He's the drummer in Indy Schoaf's band. He's also the drummer in U.S. Girls. But when he has some spare time, he writes his own songs and has an EP out called Don't I believe. And he's touring and celebrating that this spring. Casbah gets the March show on the 14th. It's really great, sort of quirky, dark singer-songwriter stuff. He's a buddy of our local friend Dan Edmonds. They've played some shows together in the past. But yeah, that's Evan Cartwright. He's good.
Okay,
he's
cool. Good. And that's March 14th.
That's March 14th.
Why don't we spin a track? What do you want? Let's do that. Let's play Don't from his new stuff right now. Here's Evan Cartwright for you on Steel City Music.
Thank you. people cry and then they cry. Oh, what a silly thing to do. Sometimes people die and then they
Yeah, you know what? We'll just play a couple extra songs, and Evan's just rolling right in through the whole thing. Isn't that hilarious?
It's, well, you know.
Well, we were chatting and getting into the music. That's the problem.
It's not like the Zerika EP where there's a computerized voice that introduces each track with track number one, track number two.
Sometimes I enjoy that. Honest to God, man. Sometimes I enjoy that. Hey, it's 1225. Gunner here. Brody here. It's the Steel City Music Show on Fridays here at the Hawk. And you just heard actually two tracks, Leaving and Should I from Evan Cartwright from his new album Don't. He'll be performing at the Casbah on
March 14th. It's a Saturday.
And who's on the bill with him, by the way?
Nobody right now. Nobody.
Really?
It's all
Why
about
that?
Evan. Well, it's an early, I should clarify too, it's in the lounge. He's playing solo and it's early. It's from 7 till 10.
7 till 10.
7 till 10. Doors open at 7. Music will start around 7:40.
Right.
And there'll be one person opening.
Yeah.
The obvious pick would be Dan Edmonds to join him, but Dan's busy being part of the Ellis tour. So I got to look outside of Dan for this. The reason it's an obvious pick is because they're buddies. Evan and Dan are buddies. But
do you need someone that sounds similar to him, or could they just be their own singer-songwriter vibe?
Yeah.
And that brings people.
I just haven't really worked too hard to find somebody yet.
I like it. I like this version of Brody. The old Brody would just look at me and go, oh, well, and then be like, you're not on it. Okay, that's fine. But this one laughs and goes, yeah.
I mean, you just heard two great songs. I don't know if you were listening, but that's good stuff.
No, I was listening, and I've actually heard some of this stuff before. But my question was, is that as a promoter and as a booker, could someone else come on this bill that has a different style?
Email me, casbahbrody@gmail.com, if you'd like to get on the Evan Cartwright gig.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that are really, that you know.
There's a lot of quality in town, yeah.
Yeah, that can pop on the bill. But, I mean, if we're going to keep it all the same vein, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah,
sure. Okay, all right. Just checking, bud. That's all. Hey.
Hey, I'm not getting argumentative or defensive here. It's good.
I'm not telling you how to do your radio show. moving things along. What are we up? What's up next, sir? What was the next thing on item forbid?
Chris Hughes, maybe?
Chris Hughes. What's the scoop on this?
So, let's see. Teenage punks from the late 90s, early 2000s would recall a Oakville, Mississauga, Burlington sort of band called Moneen.
Right.
And one of the guitar players in that successful and quality punk rock outfit was named, or is named, Chris Hughes.
Right.
Fans would call him the Hippie because of his big dreadlocks.
Sure.
So the Hippie, post Moneen, started another band called Seas, like the body of water.
Right.
And he's been recording under that name for 5 or 6 years now, and he's going to be touring a little bit of a solo run of Chris Hughes solo songs, which are Seas songs, but also songs that he's done just as himself. And so Chris the Hippie Hughes, formerly of Moneen and Seas, is playing on March 8th in our lounge at the Casbah. So that's the scoop there.
And who else is on the bill?
The Smile Case, which is a folk punk sort of singer-songwriter solo guy.
Right.
His name's Ben Andrus. He's also a promoter, actually. Has a label called Blacktop Records. And his solo material is recorded under the name The Smile Case. There'll probably be another act added from the local scene as well.
Okay.
But Chris and I go back to the Moneen days. I've booked Moneen a number of times. And whenever Seas was wanting to do a show, especially when they had their album release about 4 years ago, he came calling for that too. So we've hosted him a few times. Our mutual friend Tim Laidman from The Holding Sky, the big Hippie fan, big Chris Hughes fan.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. The story, right there. Yeah.
Why don't we spin two tracks from him? All I've Forgotten, but right now here's Plans. From the new EP Cursed, here's Seas for you on Steel City Music.
Falling into a hole in the room, swallowing.
And that was Plans from Seas, from the album Cursed. And but we started things off with Without a Sound, and then it went into Plans, that sort of thing. Yeah. I like that track. I like what you were – I like that. You were saying – now picture that with the acoustic guitar, just that.
Right. Going in. Yeah. So the band is called Seas, but under the acoustic solo version, it's simply Chris Hughes.
Yeah. No, I was digging it. I was like, I'm going to – give him a message and see if we can get the album up here.
Very good.
That's something that we should be spinning up.
March 8th. Yes.
Right.
Live.
Okay. That sounds pretty good. 12:36 right now. Gunner, Brody from the Casbah, Steel
Hello.
City Music, spinning some tunes of what's coming up at the Casbah, talking about music and all the other fun stuff. Going to start recording the entire show off mic just so we can intersect it. So people can go.
Because we talk about all the good stuff off mic?
Well, we talk about everything, right? Yeah, like, yeah, just before we hit the mic, I'm like going, yeah, Ronson, he's a great soundman. He's a good guy. I like him, you know? And it's like, oh, then we jump on, that sort of thing. Right. I think Ronson works really hard at this in Hollywood. Because I was just telling Brody how he had to do sound last month where it was like different acts. Like, it was like swap a song kind of thing. But they went up, they did their song, and then they got off the stage, and then he had like reset everything. And I was like, what a nightmare.
Right.
Yeah. But he pulled it.
But you know what? It kind of balances out because there's nights like that where the sound tech has got to contort their body 100 million ways to make the show happen.
Yeah.
And then the next night, there's a burlesque show, and all you got to do is press play on the CD player for their song and then press pause when the song's over. And
yeah.
That's all you got to do. So.
I just hope there's more of the burlesque nights than there is the bend over backwards thing. But yeah, he's a great guy. Well, you have a couple of really good guys over your place, too.
Yeah. Like, well, Ronson mixed at our place for years before he moved to Toronto.
Yeah.
And now he's back in Hamilton. He's at Hollywood.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. I and Lou at Hollywood have both been very blessed with great sound techs.
Yeah.
Every one of the people I've had, after spending some time at the Casbah or the Underground prior to that, eventually would get hired by some really great touring band, and I'd lose him.
Chris Bell.
it started with Duke Foster, right? Duke was my first, and then Blue Rodeo took Duke.
Yeah.
And then Chris came in following up Duke, and then he got scooped by Winter Sleep and Broken Social Scene, and then Donnie Cooper came in, and he got scooped by Sheepdogs and Tokyo Police Club.
Yeah.
Anthony Coachella came in, he got scooped by Walk Off the Earth and Ill Scarlet.
Yeah.
So it just
it's funny,
you know,
yeah.
Adam Newman's the one that stayed local. Adam stayed local, started a family, has been a fantastic mixer of live music over the last decade a bit. He's the one anomaly that decided Hamilton's my home, I'm staying
right
in.
But it's always nice to have those guys that when you roll into a venue you go, thank you.
Yes.
Like, you know, when you walk into a venue and then all of a sudden it's like,
I'm sure Adam's nationally remembered,
you know, like this, you know, we're in like good hands now that we know who's doing the sound, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Right? It's also good for, as you're a bar owner, you know, someone, you know, that person knows what to do, and if a problem arises, they have the right decision making without bringing you into the loop unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. We are moving on to the next act, sir.
Okay.
The next item up for bid is, because this is another thing we were talking about, Beatles. Was it?
You're going ahead too far. Slow down.
Oh, that's
March
right.
March 20th.
Yeah, this is the one here because I don't know what the other songs are because he didn't label them. Thanks, Dwayne. That's okay, bud. We're going to have Dwayne Timbers and some of the bands that are coming up that will be performing at the Casbah, part of a huge punk compilation. You want to talk about that?
Sure. The label's called Lockdown Records. Local musician Dwayne Timbers is the brain behind this new compilation punk rock label. And to sort of launch the label, he's put a compilation record together that basically started on social media. Hey, I want to put out a comp. Any local punk band that wants to submit some music for consideration, here's my email address. And before he knew it, he had enough songs for a four-disc collection.
Kind of. So. It's a lot to put together. It really is.
Have you ever
put together a compilation album in your... remember when you started Cincinnati Records and you were
started,
a manager
well,
and you had
no,
like
we did
you
label.
Had 29 artists? It was Wax Mannigan, Mannigan and the Wax. There's like a whole bunch of...
The company started as a label. We had full-length releases on our schedule. We did the final Ride Theory record before they became Young Rival.
Yep.
We did the End Gun record by Wax Mannequin.
How many albums did you guys put
three
put together?
And just then
three,
In Silent Code's a soul release. Do you remember In Silent Code?
Oh, yeah. The kid.
The Delaplante brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the Smith brothers. I love that record. Those guys were good. They had that you know, that And You'll Know Us by the Trail of Dead kind of sound.
Yeah.
And we put them on a lot of good shows. Ultimately, I figured out that because I was a concert promoter, that I was much better at getting these acts gigs around North America than actually selling their records for them.
Yeah. So, I think when you started, that's when it was starting about downloads with internet, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that was a little hard time for
me. I got them some pretty, like the highlights of that little label run, the highlight would have been getting Wax Mannequin a gig at the Night Gallery in Calgary, opening solo for No Means No.
Yeah.
That was probably the highlight of that little run as a record label. I got In Silent Code on some pretty cool shows in Toronto. The Riot Theory, their first sort of big show in Toronto, was at the Horseshoe, opening for a Swedish band that the Division of Laura Lee. I don't know if you remember that band.
I remember that band.
They came out just at the same time as the Strokes and the Hives and bands like that.
Yeah. That's cool. It's funny that some of the stuff that you've done and you forget, eh?
Oh, I know.
That's why I was asking, like, have you ever put, like, I mean, the comp album, because I know because I put comp albums in the past for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Duane talked about it, actually, you told me about it first that it was going to happen.
Right.
And then him and I were talking months ago. And I said, okay, well, as we're leading up to the show, we'll start bringing on some of the artists, that sort of stuff, like every week, and play some tunes, that kind of stuff. And before you know it, here we are going in the month of March and the show's happening. And when I first heard about it, there wasn't a four album comp thing. And I thought to myself, oh, this is a nightmare. Because now he's got to get all this together, and then he had to decide on what goes on which album, and then you got to figure out the flow of the album and everything. And then it's just, and then now you have to promote the show, and then you have the comp.
I've got to worry about is logistics of the live show.
Yeah, so. Now he has to make sure that everybody's on the same page for this show, and then he's got this whole other 12, got to do it all over again.
Yeah.
He must really love it.
16 acts are booked for the live show to celebrate the compilation.
Yeah.
I'm sure, if Duane hasn't figured this out, I'm sure there's one drum kit.
Oh, Duane, guess what? There's one kit. I can tell you right now, there's one kit. There's one bass rig.
I think each act will probably play two, maybe three songs.
Yeah.
And it'll just be a rotation of relentless punk rock for the night. And it's going to be a lot of beer drinking, a lot of like fist pumping. And
Boom, 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 boom. And I'll tell you right now, we're already going to start a GoFundMe page for whoever stage managing. You probably know you're doing it, whoever I'm talking about.
Hi, Ginger.
Okay, why don't we spin a track from that? And, of course, we'll be talking about more about this compilation album coming up in the next couple of weeks, and we'll have some of the bands that are on it here on the show. Black Eyes from Letdowns, formerly The Wet Spots, been around for a long time, but here they are on Steel City Music.
You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Look at us being all fatherly and grown up here. It's 12:50 right now. Gunnar and Brody, Steel City Music on The Hawk, and you just heard. Now, I have to say this correctly, sir, because I don't want to offend anyone. So I have to change the names.
You got CRTC guidelines to fulfill, right?
Yes,
yes.
So, Dwayne, as I say this, don't say, that's not how you say
actually,
it.
Why don't we try this? You say the word actually as the word is, and as you say the word, I'll go,
no, let's not do that. No, let's not. Because that's where you're going to punk me. How did you get thrown off the air, Brody? Yeah. The first song you heard was Letdowns with Black Eyes. And then you also heard Two Tier Justice with Tough Effin' Shia. Shia.
Tough Effin' Sugar.
Sugar. There you go. And before that, you heard Bought and Sold from Prior Convictions. All of that put together by Dwayne Timbers. It is a huge compilation that is coming out. And on March 20th, it'll be the debut, the big night down at...
I guess it's almost like it's a release party for the compilation, I guess. Yeah. 16 acts. 8 o'clock till close. An epic night of punk rock music. There'll be Sticky Floors from Spilled Beer.
Did you lock him in for a second date yet?
No, not yet. No, okay. But I love dealing with Dwayne. He's a good organized promoter.
Yeah.
It's not the first show he's done at the Casbah. He did a Ramones tribute, and we've had more talks about tributes in the future. His band Prior Convictions is one of the better punk bands in
town. You guys do a lot of tributes to dead people.
Yeah, I like
it
old
seems
music.
Like, it
like
seems like music. When someone dies, there's a tribute within like a
is
half
that,
hour.
Is that cold of me?
It's so cold, it's unreal. It's a running joke in my brain. As soon as someone dies, I'm like, here it comes.
Well, I would say this.
Here it comes.
When the show actually happens, each time the show happens, it's a wonderful experience. Everybody
I'm sure it is, but you're the Undertaker of Hamilton. Yeah. It's like, here it comes. Hey, man, no, that's your job. You got to get on things.
Maybe you should organize some kind of a pool for how many minutes goes by after somebody dies when Brody announces something on Facebook.
How do you know I don't already got it going? I already got that going. You know what? I can't even pick on you on Facebook because you do it yourself. It's just like he sets himself up. I'll let him go. That's fine. Right. Okay, so for the final show that we're going to be talking about.
So just, I don't know if he said it. March 20th is
yes,
the
we
date.
Did. Yeah.
Oh, we did. Okay.
We did. March
20th,
which is a...
It's a Friday night. That's how you do punk rock.
Yeah.
You didn't know? You should know that by now.
What, Friday night's punk night?
That's punk night.
For yeah.
For the world.
Yeah.
That's okay. Punk Rock is Friday night.
Friday night. Yeah.
Because Punk O'Clock is Friday at Friday 8.
You know what? I'm old, and I'm a Saturday night guy.
Oh, you need that rest day?
I
got
to do this all day today.
You need that rest day? You can't jump from work to fun? You have to have that day off before
I
you?
I used to. Look, who are you talking to? Remember all those stupid shows I used to do? I'd go do like a live to air or something. I'd be here all day, go do that, and then didn't even know my name the next day. I'd be
You know, a true punk goes from his or her day job wearing suit and tie or business casual and
I
goes
get
right
that,
into
buddy.
The right into
I
the pub
get that.
Grabs a
that.
Beer and spills it on their shirt.
But I'm the guy now.
In their sport coat, and that's...
I go do all that stuff. I drink, and then the next day
that's
I find
skinny, that's where the skinny ties came from, so you didn't have as much linen to spill your beer on.
I'd be at Upper James.
Fat ties got a bigger surface area.
Dude, I'd be at the Denninger's with egg hanging off my face, not knowing my name. Like, you know, I was just like, this is not right. You should stop eating in public and maybe have a nap. You know, but because I was doing the punk rock thing of not sleeping and doing all the fun stuff, right? So... I'm a Saturday guy.
Okay.
I can't even.
That's better than being a Monday guy.
Yeah. Whatever. That's a whole conversation. I'm legit trying to go out more.
I've seen you. I've witnessed it.
And you know, I'm doing it. Like, I'm trying to prove that you can go out on a Wednesday.
You can. And survive.
And survive. You can go see. The only thing that held me back the other night was I had too much to do the other day. Mm. And Coslink and I were going to go see Bonds of Mara.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah, that was the
Wednesday
the
night.
The Wednesday night, the Rocker. Almost Zero was opening up. Mm-hmm. And I think Cozzy has a cousin in the band. And they were opening up. It's like, it was like one part I, Mother Earth, one part Default, one part, you know, all these other bands from the late 90s, that sort of stuff. So like, that's kind of cool.
Fun show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was like I'm trying. I mean, I go out to the open mic thing, too. I'm putting in my appearances.
I mean, Gunnar, my start, one of the primary factors for why I left the world of kinesiology and athletics to be an indie rock promoter was because no one was rocking from Sunday to Thursday in Hamilton at that time. It was all weekend centric, and then there was nothing, and people were jonesing for stuff, and people that really wanted to see a good band would have to go down the 403 to Toronto and see it on an off night. So I started shows on weird
Toronto
nights.
But Toronto has the coronavirus now, so they don't have to go to Toronto now. Now you can just stay and see music here in Hamilton.
I just drove my kid to his basketball tournament in Mississauga, and just beyond the border of Mississauga, there's this red beam.
Yeah,
you can't go past the red beam.
Turn around and go back and see a band in Hamilton. That's our running joke. So for the final, what we're going to be talking about is we're going to move into a Kinks, the Village Green Preservation Society towards that album. But Matthew DeZoet has put some stuff together with that and the Beatles. You were saying
Matthew DeZoet.
Okay, I know that.
Okay.
I know better than to say it that way because I've interviewed him 1,000 times and I've screwed it up twice. That's the third time screwing it up.
I'm sure it's been screwed up many times.
Yeah.
Matthew is a local singer-songwriter. He's got a nice little farm out West Flamborough way and has been putting out his own music for almost 20 years now. He started making original music at a really young age because he still looks like he might be 24.
Mm-hmm. He's a young looking man,
He's been doing these tribute concerts recently. Presenting them in a church on Lock Street. The name of the church escapes me at the moment, but he's taking those tribute things and putting it into the bar experience this time.
Right.
And so it's a combo tribute of the Beatles' Abbey Road record and the Kinks Village Green Preservation Society record. And
you a Kinks or a Beatles guy?
Oh, that's how you want to compare? I thought it was always, are you a Beatles or a Stones person?
Well, both of those other bands don't compare to the Stones, so I just go Kinks versus Beatles.
Oh, I mean, the Kinks are the, let's see, how do I put this? Most people don't know the volume of great music that the Kinks are responsible for. They'll only be sort of aware of two or three singles. So most people just, out of lack of knowledge, will immediately say Beatles.
Yeah.
But if you had the opportunity or the ambition to really investigate the Kinks, you'll realize that they are a far superior band from a songwriting point of view.
Right.
And that's a lot considering Paul McCartney, George Harrison, John Lennon are pretty good songwriters. But
I think I just set you up for your next show because I think it's a great statement to make. And then now we can get Christopher Claus involved. And he's very eloquent when he speaks about music and everything. So you could have him up to talk about the merits of the Beatles versus the Kinks.
Here's the thing about the Kinks, and this is I'm going to take this as an opportunity to plug my radio show on The Hawk. Yeah. Mondays at 4 o'clock, Bailey Quarters Overdrive is all about indie rock and music that influenced indie rock. And I would argue that the Kinks and what they've done as a band far more influences and has influenced indie rock, modern indie rock, than the Beatles did.
Right.
And that's kind of why I favor the Kinks.
I don't even know who's going to argue against you, but it'd have to be Christopher Claus or
There's only two mics, and no one else is here. So.
No, there's right now, yeah, you'll win. Just turn them off.
There's probably people listening at home going, the guy's crazy, the Kinks over the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, John Conway. John Conway's like listening right now going, no. Okay, John, calm down. So there you go. Thanks for coming up, and we're just going to wrap things up. We're going to go out on, and once again, Ellis on March 5th, Chris and the Hippie Hughes on the 8th, Evan Cartwright on the 14th, and then we're all talking about March, folks. Lockdown Punk Comp happening on the 20th. And we'll go back in a little bit later on the show. I'll spin you some music from Lisa.
Oh, great.
She has a thing as well.
Yeah, Lisa.
That's coming up on the 26th. And then at the Abbey Road Tribute, which we were just talking about with Matthew Dizuete.